probably in the early 90s. And she was one of the weirdos who was, like, probably socialist or something because they're doing a weird thing here in Southeast Idaho. And she, I remember her telling me when I was a little older, she says, everybody's homeschooled. Most people just don't know it. And I've thought of that a lot over the years. Like, home is the most influential thing on anybody. Whatever they do for their studies, home is what will educate them, what will form them, right? So, I'm going to talk a bit about one approach to doing life and home in a way that takes care of a lot of the educational stuff without directly focusing on it. So we'll go there. But we're going to start out. I'm the campus girl. Wow. You thought I was in the middle of the building. That's life. Yeah, okay. It's fine. I'm the campus director at the Bellom campus. I just thought I'd show you this. I did this like 3 minutes ago because I was like, I should probably tell them what I do, who I am. Maybe they'll decide to listen to me. I live here on this 160-acre campus in Missouri, and I'm the director of it. And for those who follow the kind of thing I'm going to talk about today, who are members of the Bellom community, this is our gathering place. People come from all over the country to do retreats and gather together for artful living at this place. And so, you've got people... This is a great guy, of all ages, painting, gardening, doing artful rock art, all ages, folk dancing, this is what we do. So that's me. That's enough of that. Okay, let's sing. Any of you know this song? Just sing it with me if you know it. Different key. Simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in a place just right, twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. To turn will be our delight, till by turning we've come round right. Every day at campus, we start with something called morning song. Every day, 9 o'clock, anybody that's on campus, whether it's just me and my wife and my kids, or there's a bunch of visitors or whatever, we all gather and do morning song. And we always start with this song, just like that. And so I'm doing morning song with you because this is one little practice I'm going to share with you. It's not like, oh, I have to do morning song. It's just an example of building into your normal life the things that will transform your own soul and your home. Chris, do you mind grabbing that door for me? I just keep seeing people and it's distracting. Can you close that for me? Yeah, thanks. So we always sing more simple gifts. That's the first thing we always do. It's just our tradition. You do, however. And then we review a couple songs we've done before. So here's some. One of you pick one off here that you know or you're interested in, and we'll sing it. Or I'll sing it. I don't know.
Amazing Grace.
That's a good one. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's do the one verse. I love it. That's a good one. Let's do one or two more. Do you have one that looks fun up there?
The Fox.
Oh, have you guys sung that before?
Yeah.
You guys know this song? It's like an old classic. I don't have my cape over here. We're going to play it down a whole step. This is a classic folk tune. I love it. I'll just sing along if you know it. Ready? These are just two of the verses.
The Fox went out on a chilly night, praying for the moon to give him light. He ran a mile of gold at night before he reached. Across his back and in mine, the quack quack and the legs all bend down low, in mine, the quack quack and the legs all bend down low.
I gotta do the next verse.
The old gray woman jumped out of bed, out of the window she popped her head, cried, John, the gray goose is gone and the fox is on the town. Without any strife, they cut up the goose with a fork and knife, and they never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones.
I love that song. I just can't do one part of it. Let's do one more. These are fun. Anything else?
Blow the Man Down.
Okay, have you guys heard this? Sea Shanty? Yeah. Any of your kids get into sea shanties? There's so much awesome music in the world, like crazy different kinds. So here's how this works. On this first part, you guys are going to sing these parts. I'll do the call, you do the response. The yellow is the response, right? Sea shanties are like the call and response. Down here, this is all supposed to be black, so we can all sing it. I'm going to sing this one once for you, and then you can do it with me, all right? It goes like this. Come all ye young fellows who follow the sea, way, hey, blow the man down, and pray pay attention, and listen to me. Give me some time to blow the man down. Then we all sing, blow the man down, bullies, blow the man down. Way, hey, blow the man down, blow him right back into Liverpool town. Give me some time to blow the man down. All right, now you got to sing it like Piratical Pirates, okay? So I'll set the mood with my calls, and you match me with your response, and don't leave me hanging, because that's me. All right, here we go. Come all ye young fellows who follow the sea.
Way, hey, blow the man down.
And pray pay attention and listen to me.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Oh, blow the man down, bullies, blow the man down. Way, hey, blow the man down, blow him right back into Liverpool town. Yeah! Give me some time to blow the man down. Does that feel good? Did you get tired of being a serious adult all the time? This is boring. So, the last thing we do in morning song to bring the arts into our everyday life is we're always memorizing poetry. This is not something I did growing up. It's not something I did even in my young adulthood. I think I was like 27 when my wife came home from a conference where she heard about what I'm going to be telling you about, and she said, we're memorizing poetry as a family. I was like, yes, ma'am, let's do it. And it's grown into my normal life. I now don't memorize poetry just because it's what we do in family, you know, morning song time every morning. I went on a backpacking trip up in the Bighorn Crags with my brother-in-law, a couple of my brother-in-laws last year. I knew I was going to be spending a week on the trail, so I brought a couple poems. And I memorized this one I'm actually going to share with you and teach you a little bit of. I memorized On the Trail in August. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to skip through this. All right, we'll just leave it on one. It's called The World Is Too Much With Us by William Wordsworth. And I'm just going to tell you the poem, and I'm going to help you memorize the first like line or two. Ready? The world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. This sea that bares her bosom to the moon, the winds that will be howling at all hours, but are upgathered now like sleeping flowers. For this, for everything, we're out of tune. It moves us not. Great God, I'd rather be a pagan, suckled in a creed outworn. So might I, standing upon this pleasant lee, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn. Have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, or hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. I love that. In case you're wondering, William Wordsworth was not a pagan. He was a Christian. But his point is that in our modern world, we've become so dead to beauty, to life. We live in a machine of a culture that we don't even see the glory of God in everything around us. We're dead to it. It would be better to be pagan, because at least they joyed in nature and the creation of beautiful things, even if they were maybe confused about where that come from or what it means. But it's better that than dead completely to it, to the beauty and glory that's around us. Okay, so I'm going to teach you how I teach others to memorize a poem. You ready? So I use hand signs, and you're an adult, and it's fine. So the world is too much with us. We go, the world is too much with us. All right, so say that with me. The world is too much with us. Next line is late and soon. Late and soon. It's like we have two watches because we're super but not so bad, right? Late and soon, getting and spending. So getting. So we're going to go, the world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending. We lay waste our powers.
Okay,
so what I do is I memorize one little bit, and then we go over a bunch of times, and then we add on a little bit more and go over all of that a bunch of times, and then add on a little bit more and go over all of that. That's how I do it. Yeah.
So is this like sign language or just hand sign?
I'm making it up.
So
like,
good. Right.
I just make these up. Right. And when someone's in the room who knows sign language, I'm like, oh, that's good. Let's use that. But I just make it up in the moment. I don't even prep this with my family or anybody on campus. And sometimes if I don't have a good sign, I'll say, what would be a good sign? And somebody makes one, and then we use that. So we're going to go, the world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Good. Who wants to try it on their own? This is an important part of teaching Bible poetry, because when you have to do the work to recall it, and it's a struggle, you're strengthening the neural pathways. It's like lifting a heavy weight. So the struggle to remember it, you're not performing, you're working out. Who wants to work out? Somebody want to try it? Go.
Okay. The world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers.
Okay, here's the magic thing, though. All of your brains were predicting the words a second before she said it. Did you notice that? Just like you were like, okay. So when she has the bravery to work out, everybody mentally works out. It's really, really cool. And then people start to like it. Like, oh, okay, I'll try it, you know, and whatever. So, all right, that's good. We're going to stop there. And then the next day I would add on some more. Okay. If you read the description of the class, I'm talking about the well-educated heart philosophy. Some of you might have heard those words before, some not. But there's a lot of things out there about it, and I want to disambiguate a little bit. Like, clean the room and just show you what's what, because there's a lot of names. How many, just raise your hands as I say things if you've heard that thing before. Ready? Well-educated heart. Okay. Mothers of influence. Bellom. Well-educated heart academy. Libraries of hope. Okay, so like, there's a bunch of different things. And I want to show you how they all fit together, okay? They're all kind of jumbled because they grew over time. This is the work of Marlene Peterson. She's the founder. She has something great to give to the world. And it's just grown, like a house that you didn't plan all at first. You just kept adding on different rooms, right? And so it's kind of windy. Now it's been all brought together. So I'm going to show you how that goes. We're not going to take much time on this. The well-educated heart is a philosophy. It's the root of what I'm going to be talking to you about today. It's a philosophy, a way of thinking about the world and our lives, okay? If you study Charlotte Mason, she has a philosophy. Maria Montessori has a philosophy, right? These are all different, and they all overlap in lots of ways. So the well-educated heart is a philosophy. And it's at the heart of things. And the way you learn about this philosophy is you go take the online course Catch the Vision. It's free, okay? It takes 17 hours to go all the way through. Do it over a month or two. Okay? Do it with your husband if he's willing, because then you'll like understand the same things. And that's helpful right from the beginning, if this interests you. So you learn about the well-educated heart philosophy from the Catch the Vision course, and that's the heart of everything. Everything stems from that I'm going to share with you. Okay? So part of the well-educated heart philosophy is we have to fill our life with good stories. That matters really deeply. And so the founder, Marlene Peterson, created Libraries of Hope, which is a collection of books full of great stories from great writers throughout history. She's reprinted these, they were in the public domain, collected them, organized them. There's like 300 volumes. They're all free online. You can just read them on your computer if you want, or you can buy the books. Or if you join the community, they're in an app that you get. So there's lots of ways to access them. You don't have to pay if you don't want to. They're just there. That's Libraries of Hope. Reading these helps you implement the well-educated heart philosophy. Their materials helps to that. Okay. Mothers of Influence. So after a while, this focuses on mothers, because mothers have the place in the family, and they have the gifts that help set a well-educated heart type culture in the home. So they're strategically well-placed for that. They have a unique role. And so mothers started gathering together and saying, hey, we want to support each other in doing this. They started making Mothers of Influence circles. So this is just 3 or 8 or 10 ladies in your neighborhood or your city getting together once a month and singing, doing art, reading together, whatever it is. Studying the philosophy together, talking about how they're doing it in their homes together, how's it working for you, how's it working for me, that's what that is, okay? There's probably one where you live. Well-Educated Heart Academy, so a lot of these families started saying, I want online classes for my youth that, like, stem from this philosophy. So there's online classes. I teach two of them. I teach two English classes where I try to use the philosophy as my mode of teaching rather than kind of traditional education. So those are online classes. And now there's a 160-acre campus that I told you about. that's out there. And it's a retreat campus, a gathering place for people who love this, who are trying to live this out in their own lives, okay? All those things, they're all kind of different, they're all over. Now, starting 3 years ago, they're all under this name. This is the organization. Marlene actually finally like made a nonprofit and got organized a little bit, right? And so Bellom Center for Artful Living is the organization that safeguards and teaches and promulgates this philosophy, that owns and runs this campus, that you know, promotes the books, that manages the classes, and that oversees like and supports women who want to do groups. So that's Bellom Center for Artful Living. It's a 501c3 nonprofit registered, and now we finally have some organization. Okay, last little thing about this. There are people who are doing some little part of all this. There's lots of people who like the books. How many of you own some of the books? Okay, so you bought some of the books, you're like, well, these are cool. These like speak to me somehow. Okay, great. But they don't really know, maybe they do, maybe they don't know a lot about this. They just like the books. Or there's people who stop by the campus, like, this, but they're not really very familiar. You know, or some people who send their kid, they're like, oh, my neighbor told me there's this really cool class at this Welsh Kidder Academy, I signed him up. But they don't really know what the rest of it is. Or like, oh, these ladies in my neighborhood invited me, I go, it's really cool, I feel good there. They're nice, they're awesome. I haven't actually jumped into any of the books. I haven't taken the Catch the Vision, but it's cool. So there's most of the people that know about the Welsh Kidder Heart are on the periphery. There's 15,000 people out there, at least, that are like that. What we've done in the last 3 years is made a community. So for those who really want to make this big and a center place and they want to help build this community of people, we bring all these a lot closer and we do them together. And you can join that community. It's an online community. You get like, there's like a social network, self-contained. It was on Facebook and then Facebook's stupid. So we moved it inside a community. There's classes in there that you just get. You can do art classes. I do morning song. I publish a video like what I just did with you every week for families, and lots of these families do that in their own home. They just watch it and do it along with it. There's all sorts of stuff. If you're a member, you can come to the campus. You can, you know, you can do these things if you're not a member. But the membership is for people who like, I feel like I want to commit to this. I feel like I want to help build this. I want to be a supporter of it. There's a membership. You can do a free one, which just gets you into like this online community. And you can take the Catch the Vision course. That's free. I'm not doing this as a sales pitch, really. I just want you to understand because it's confusing. If you want to pay, then you get all the other online classes, the online community, all that stuff. And everything you pay goes here to build this campus for you. And then you come and help actually build it because I run programs where you guys actually build all the stuff here. And then we have retreats and it's great. Okay, I'll have questions at the end. So if you have any questions, we'll get to those at the end. I want to invite you to rethink education. Now, that's a really audacious thing, saying this is what we think education is. But if you ask anybody, education is a different thing. But you have a whole lot of baked-in assumptions in your own mind about what education means. What does it look like? What's its purpose? What's it for? And I'm going to say, if you're going to get into the well-educated heart philosophy, it's going to invite you to strip that way back and rethink it from the bottom up. I've been a public school teacher, private school teacher. I did my education in education. I've been a curriculum administrator for a private school, you know, designing all their curriculum. I've been an instructional designer doing trainings for the Department of Energy. Education has been everything I've ever done. Educational psychology, all that. And when I took the Catch the Vision course with my wife, I went, who is this lady, Marlene Peterson? And how does she understand educational psychology so deeply that she can actually integrate it all in one functional place? I've never seen anything like it. And the truth is, she's never studied any educational psychology. But what that philosophy encompasses everything I ever learned that was true in all of my work and study, and puts it into a livable way, which is not happening anywhere I've ever seen. So this is you. This is all of us. We're trying to raise our families, and we are living in the hollow, crumbling shell of a culture. We talk about the culture wars. The culture war between left and right, conservative, liberal, all that stuff, that is two bald guys fighting over a cone. There's no culture to fight over. It's gone. Our culture in the West was Christendom. It was built around the idea that there was a garden and there were two people in it and something happened there that needed redeeming. And then it was redeemed. And our entire Western culture was built around that idea. Our festivals, our songs, our stories, our way of life, our morals, everything was built on that, and that started to crumble in the 1500s. And here we are in 2026. That one. And we don't realize that imagine she was born in this rubble. She doesn't know anything else. She thinks she's living in a normal civilization and city. Let alone them, they've never known anything else. This is great, this is life. They have no idea they're living in the bombed out, burned out, crumbling remains of a culture. And you see the effect. That's why you're homeschooling, right? Because you don't like the culture out there. It has nothing to offer. It has no central core meaning. It leaves you empty. You're scrolling and you're empty. You're like all the stereotypes we all know so intimately that leave us empty in our culture. What we're trying to do in the Bellong community is say, okay, I don't like that culture. Thank you. I want a different one. I want to sub in something else intentionally that's not that. And we try to do it piece by piece. We find a good book and that makes us feel a little good, or I'm going to homeschool now. That'll fix it. But at the core, we're still enmeshed and surrounded by the same culture. So the Bellong community is a community of families who are saying, we're going to try this other thing. And we're going to start right here in my own heart as mom and as dad, and let it spread to our home from there. And now I want to join the community because there's 1,200 other families who are doing this. And boy, when I'm with them, it feels like, have you ever tried to sing in tune next to people who are out of tune? It's really hard. Have you ever not been a great singer, but you're standing with somebody who's spot on? And how much easier it is to sing in tune and write? I don't read music terribly well. So when I'm learning the tenor part of some piece, I want to stand next to the tenor who does read music really well and is spot on, because by him I can sing. That's the Bellong community. We get together because it is so much easier to do this when you're around your people who are trying to do this in their own homes. So this is the kind of outsider view. Pull out of the fishbowl and look down at what you were in. This is what we're in. So our current culture has a definition for education, and it's all us obsessed about the mind. Everything is about the mind. Facts, knowledge, and skills. I know this because as an instructional designer, every course I ever wrote, I had to state, what are the knowledge and skills that will be gained from this? And you don't even question, you're like, of course, the knowledge and skills. There's nothing else. Our modern culture doesn't even know you have a soul. It doesn't even know you have a soul. And the knowledge and skills flow naturally from a well-educated soul. When your soul is filled and your heart is nourished, you want knowledge and skills. Somebody doesn't have to bang them into your head. You're going out and you're like, I'm interested in this. I want to learn it. You ever tried to teach somebody that was really interested in what you were trying to teach? Like really wanted it? How hard was it to teach them? No. You didn't teach them. They were like clawing out of you the knowledge that they wanted and the skills they wanted. Now if you try to teach someone who has no interest in what you're trying to teach, you cannot do it. You can't teach people things. People can learn things, but you can't teach people. So if we get our hearts right, if we get our soul right, the knowledge and skills flow. So there's a sequence, heart before mind. Both are equally important. Both make up our whole self. But the heart has to come first. And modern education, because of our modern culture, doesn't know we have a heart. Doesn't even know what that is. So if you go through the Catch the Vision course, she's going to spend half of the time trying to help you understand a vision of what the heart is and what education of the heart can look like. So I'm going to give you a new definition of education. Modern education has the metaphor of a machine. We are machines to be programmed. You input data. And then how do I know you have the data? Because you can output the data, right? That's modern education in a nutshell. But we're not computers. We're not machines. We are living things. You tried to garden? Any of you? Garden? Nature does not work like a machine. Give me the input and I will give you the output. No, there's like a bazillion complicating little things that happen all the time that you don't understand because it's a complex, growing, dynamic, living system. And the seeds you have that you're growing with have a genetic imperative in them that is going to develop unless something messes it up. That's how we are. We're not machines. We have a soul, a genetic predisposition that is trying to emerge spontaneously, but the conditions block it out. So let's go to this. Probably heard this from the New Testament. A sower went forth to sow, and he spreads his seeds, right? And some falls upon stony ground, and straightway the birds come and eat it up. Boom, it's gone. Some of them fall among thorns. They get choked out. The only ones that grow are in the cultivated, fertile soil. Okay, I do no-till gardening, regenerative agriculture stuff. I'm one of those weirdos. We spend a lot of time with soil. We make compost. We measure the bacteria and fungal colonies in them. We turn it into like liquid amendments and pour it over everything, like that sort of stuff. Because we know that a gardener is not growing vegetables. A gardener is growing soil. And if you just grow the soil grows the vegetables. Like, you don't have to tell a carrot what to do. Somebody said, showed this metaphor once. I love it. Like, you don't have to plant your carrot seed in a cone-shaped thing. That's managed. That's like, I'm going to manage you. This is, you'll see the metaphors everywhere. It's treating it like a machine. I have to manage you. I have to tell you. No, a carrot knows what to express. And so do you. In my belief, you're a child of an almighty creator. So you are going to develop. It's in you to develop, like a carrot knows how to develop into a carrot. You're going to emerge as a great, creative, powerful, good soul. Nobody has to, you don't have to manage your children's education. But I bet that's what it feels like you're doing all the time. And me too. Life is life. I'm working on it, right? But so much of it feels like we're managing their education. We're giving the cone-shaped thing, so you must grow this way. We're not like that. So Charlotte Mason said, true education is between our soul and God. True education is between our soul, or a child's soul, but it's our soul, because we're children, and God. So this is not you as the parent educator. That's him. He's got the seeds to sow. He knows what seeds need sown, because not every garden bed has the same seeds in it, right? What our job is in education is cultivating soil. That's our job. And when we forget our job and try to do that job, modern education says, this is you, Mom. You gotta pick the right curriculum, pick the right seeds, put them on right, or don't mess it up, right? But you're not the sower. I'm not the sower. God's the sower. Our job is to cultivate soil. Our job is the job of the gardener who's responsible for the soil. Help it be ready to receive. A hard heart doesn't want to receive. Can't receive, it's that person who doesn't want to learn. Christ says, more often than almost, the most often thing he says is, follow me. I'm going to get to that one in a minute. The second most frequent thing he says is, fear not. That's good advice. If this all seems overwhelming, quit. I don't mean quit this, I mean quit fearing. Right? Stop being afraid. It's okay. It's going to be fine. The third most frequent thing he says is, ask and ye shall receive. But no one asks unless they're fertile, right? The fertile soil is the one that wants to receive, that says, give me something. The hard soil doesn't. You have to force it. So how do we begin to cultivate the soil in our soul? How do we soften our hearts? How do we nourish our hearts, educate our hearts so that they are ready to receive, so that they want to receive what the sower has to offer? Which, that's your educational trajectory, right? Whatever the sower wants to sow. There are two things that lead you to want what the sower has to sow, and to be ready to receive it. One of it is a desperate soul. Have you been there where you were the desperate parent or individual in your own life or for your kids or whatever? Earlier maybe you were really confident in your homeschooling, like, I found this curriculum, it works great. I'm a this person. And it could have even been well-educated heart. I'm a well-educated heart person. I got this. I'm a TJ Ed person. I got this. I'm a whatever person. And you're like, you think you've got it, and you put it into this little box. Your heart's not really going to respond to this message because you think you've got it. You're the sower. You're managing the education. But there comes a point when that breaks down and you realize, like, it's too complex a system. It's like gardening. I did everything right, like the YouTube video said, and it's full of weeds, and nothing works, right? It's too big. It's too complex. My child is a soul, not a machine. I can't just put in the prompt, and the AI gives me the thing, right? I have to humble myself and realize I need something I don't have, and I'm hungry, and I'm yearning for something that I don't have. The other way you get really interested and want to receive from the sower is if you have a nourished soul. It's kind of a paradox. But a nourished soul is cultivated ground. And says, give me. I love the giver of the seed. Give me more seeds. This person is saying it too. So, how? How do we cultivate the soil? It's the arts. That sounds overly simplistic. It's like, okay, here's another talk about the arts. This guy likes music and poetry. Okay, let's get to whatever. This is a message I've sat with since 2017 when I first heard it. And I have gone through that Catch the Vision course 7 or 8 times. And I'm now understanding, like, finally, that the arts aren't the arts. I hate that name. It makes it sound like something over here. Oh, the arts, as opposed to what? The sciences, as opposed to my job. No, the arts are what make us human. It's just our expressed humanity. So I hate calling them even the arts. Like, have you felt moved to dance? Even if you didn't, because you were normal, and you, like, didn't do it, but you wanted to, or you wanted to sing, or you reacted to beauty, that's the humanity in you. So it's the arts and nature, because all arts stem from nature. Nature is God's classroom, and all the arts stem out of that. Yeah?
Sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but that's what this, if you can tell, that's what this conference is for. We added music, we added the dance, and now this year we added the
choir. How was singing at the beginning of this thing? At first you're like, oh, we're singing. I can't belong, I'm not doing this. And then like 2 minutes later you're like, way, hey! And you're like, your soul just breathes a bit. You're like,
yeah, and so last night everybody was dancing, I leaned over to Catherine. And I said,
yeah, it enlivens you. It makes you come alive again.
Not about math.
Yeah, and math's great. Math, I'm not diminishing math. But if you have a well-nourished soul, math is stinking fascinating. Like, it's so cool. It's an amazing language if you want, if you have curiosity and interest, right? But that stems from here, not from here. Okay, so Nicholas Grundtvig, really cool guy, invented the Danish folk high school concept in the 1800s in Denmark to revive their national spirit. That's the inspiration for our campus. Our campus is patterned after his Danish folk high schools. They did Morning Song. That's where I got Morning Song. They did Morning Song in the 1800s. Nicholas Grundtvig. Grundtvig. I don't remember how to spell it. There's a D and a T next to each other, and I don't remember in which order. So he was a preacher, and he understood something. His Christian preaching, his basic theology was human first, Christian second. You might be like, wait a second. Because we're used to thinking of human as bad. That's the natural, fleshy, bad. No, God created us as human, and he invested us with his divine beauty and joy. Our joy in the arts, our joy in music, our joy in dance, our joy in wording of poetry, our joy in beauty is the joy of humanity. And our culture doesn't do that thing. It does satirical humor and sarcasm and shock value. That's what our culture does. Goodbye. I don't want that. It's gross. It makes me feel gross. This makes me come alive, right? Not him, but you know. the music. I read David Copperfield for the first time. I was like, I should read it. So I did. And it stirred my soul. Like, it stirred something. I never got that from reading a book about business. I like business, and I get excited about the information cognitively. I even can feel excited, but I don't feel a deep stirring of meaning in my soul like I did when I read David Copperfield. So what are the arts doing to us? The arts play you like an instrument. Like, your whole nervous system, your whole soul resonates with great arts, and it retunes you. Right? For this, for everything, we are out of tune. It moves us not, from the poem. The arts make us feel again. They move us. They teach us what's deeply human, but not this way. It's not describable. It's not measurable. So you can't evaluate it. So if you're going to start this journey, you've got to be okay not knowing if it's working, ever. You can tell when it's working in you because you'll feel. With your kids, sometimes you'll see evidence, but much you won't. Because it's not measurable. And our modern bombed-out culture says everything must be measurable and observable. Carrot, are you growing in a 73-degree slope, right? You know, it doesn't work. So the arts soften hearts. So how do we do this? How do we begin? We play the arts. I need to get my heart soft. I'm not the sower. I'm trying to cultivate my soul. He's the sower. I've got to prepare my heart to receive what he wants. That's true education, receiving the seed he has to give. So I've got to prepare my hearts. I've got to help my children prepare their hearts. They're born with cultivated hearts, by the way. Soft soil. Children love story. They love the things that move them, that are familiar, that are beautiful, naturally. That leaves, as the world, the bombed out culture we're in, No, I gotta stop saying the dilapidated culture, because there were no bombs. That was old-fashioned. It hardens their heart by engaging their mind too early. You've tried pushing worksheets on a 3-year-old? That's what we do at school, right? Not all. There's a lot of good public school teachers who understand some of this, by the way. I used to be a public ed. There's some who intuitively know, like, this is not right. I'm going to sing and dance with my kids. Good job. Their hearts are wide open from a really young age. Nursery rhymes, fairy tales. You've heard talks about this before, like, fairy tales help kids. But this is why. Because it speaks to their heart, not their mind. So how do we begin to do this? It has to come from you. Here's the reality. Abstract ideals don't typically cause us to act. Did you ever read an essay about honor? And you were like, oh yeah, I'm going to be more onerous. Or you read an essay about charity. A logical thing felt like this, just swelling, like desire to love your person that you don't love very much more and to transform. No. When do you feel that? When you're around someone who embodies it. You ever had that? Even limited contact with a person who has embodied in them a trait, from them flows the energy. From them flows the inspiration. That's why, and I'm Christian, so this is my worldview, God did not give us a list of abstract ideals with a Wikipedia reference to follow. He gave us his son, who is the embodiment. He says, I am love. So we follow him, not even his teachings. We follow a person, an embodied thing, because that's the only real thing. Honor doesn't exist. It's an abstract concept. Love doesn't even exist. It's an abstract concept. It exists as it is embodied by a being. That's the only place it actually exists. So mom and dad, that has to be us. How will it flow to our children but from contact with someone who's on fire? You can't light a fire from something that's not on fire. Y'all had the teacher that was on fire. They had a passionate romantic relationship with the thing they were teaching. Okay? I tried to find a piano teacher for my kids a year ago. We found this lady in our neighborhood. She's like, yeah, I teach. I don't play. I haven't played for years, but I teach. And I'm like, sorry, lady. I want my kid to go to a teacher who's like, spends the first 20 minutes of class not even doing class. She's like, look at this piece I've been learning. Isn't this so cool? And is on fire herself, so excited about it that you just catch it. It's contagious. So if you want to walk this path with your family, it's you. This is not something you give to your kid to do. If you get on and look on the website and find all these classes and a watercolor class, I can't emphasize this enough, that is not for your kid. It's for you. Invite him to come do it with you. Like, hey, let's sit down and do this thing. But you should be worried about your own heart. For all of you who are aware of well-educated heart, I've been talking to Marlene recently, we actually think this is where we've gotten way off track. So many of those 15,000 people who know about the well-educated heart have morphed it back into their old definition of education. It's the thing I give my kids to do. It's the input I give to the machine. What always doing well-educated heart? It's giving that input to the machine instead of simple, what's the curriculum? Beauty, the good and the beautiful. Oh. I could put in the good and the beautiful CD, or I could put in the well-educated heart CD. We don't use CDs. Or I could put in the TJN CD. No, that's not the point. The point is nourish your own heart, and it will flow, right, to your children from you. So, what next? If you felt something, if this resonates with you, here's what's going to happen. Because it's happened to 15,000 people. Oh, that felt really cool. Something in that was true. I want to learn more. I go to their website. What the heck is that? It looks really complicated. I don't know what I'm looking at. And I have to go back to what I'm already doing because I can't make sense of this. That's 15,000 people, pretty much. And that's our fault for not having a better website. We're working on it. But it's hard to capture all this and, like, show you this is not a curriculum. This is a way of changing the way you live your life. So this is my best recommendation at this point. You scan this QR code. It just takes you to our website. On our website, just click the join. Go through the whole homepage. That's good. There's like Marlene talking about some of this stuff. You see some pictures of campus. There's some cool stuff. But just click join the community. If you're fired up and you're like, I'm in. I'm doing this. I want in the community. Then pay the $60 a month and build campus. That's not a product you're buying. I just want to be so clear. You're not buying a product. You'll get things. You'll get a magazine every month. You'll get access to a bunch of classes. You'll get a bunch of things. But you are paying to build this. It's you saying, I'm a patron of the arts, or I'm a patron of this. I want to see this grow. I want this culture to grow. And the community is like, okay, if families are doing it on their own, that's fine. What could we do if we were together? How could we build out and reshape the culture of the world if we stand together and do it? So if you want to do the free one, that's fine. If you want to pay, that's fine. Do the intro stuff. When you join the community, it'll take you in. It's like, do this first. Do it. Don't be like all of us who are like, okay, I see that they want to do this. What else is here? No. We put that there because it will help you understand what else is there. So just do it. And then jump into the Catch the Vision course. It's in there. It's in the online community. It's 17 hours. Go through it. Sit down with your husband. Have him listen with you. And see what happens. It's gonna ask you to rethink and refeel a lot of the way you see culture, education in a different way. Last thing I'd say is, this is drip by drip. This is not a thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to stop everything I'm doing and do this other thing. You can't do that. Well-educated heart philosophy is like moving to a new country. I talked to you about this yesterday.
Cuba.
I use Cuba. If I said to somebody else, I might have used something else. But have you ever gone to a different country to like spend some serious time? If you have, you don't just like walk up to a booth and you're like, tell me about Cuba. Okay, got it. I got Cuba. Okay. No, you live there. I lived in Mexico for 2 years as a missionary. I lived in China for 6 months with my family during grad school. 6 months in China, I barely started to kind of sort of figure out some of the big broad strokes of Chinese culture. Like barely in 6 months. And it just happens in the course of normal daily living. I didn't stop everything else I was doing. I kept eating. I kept doing things with my family. I kept studying. But I'm immersing myself the whole time and getting drips of what this culture is like. That's well-educated heart. So if this speaks to you and you're thinking, I want to try this, give it 2 years. Try it for 2 years in drips. You don't have to remake everything you're doing. Just join the community, start taking the Catch the Vision course, and let it drip in. And as you think, here's something that goes like, oh, I could do that. Then flip out that one little thing. You know, when I first went to China, it would be tempting to eat McDonald's. There was a McDonald's right next to us. But I was like, I'm going to try these noodles. So I did. And then those became a normal part of my diet. And then, okay, I'm going to try this other weird thing. And then that, like slowly, you pull in and you find that the things that you didn't want are falling out of your life. Just naturally over time. And the things you want to fill your life are filling it more and more. Poetry. Started when I was 27. My wife said, we're memorizing poetry. Never done that before in my life. And now, it's alive in me. Could you feel it when I shared the poetry? It comes up in my conversations. Comes up wherever I am. All these different poems because they're in me. They're alive in me now. But it wasn't like that at first. That took some time. Okay, we've got 2 minutes for questions, and then I'll stick around. I'm at my table, so you can take as much time with questions as you want. What do you think? What do you want to know?
I want to know more about the school. Do people, like, do kids live there?
The campus?
Yeah.
The campus, think of it as a resort, a retreat campus. So people in the community are like, oh, there's a one-week youth retreat, June 5th through June 10th. My kid, I want him to go with that. It's a cool thing. Or there's a women's retreat, a Mothers of Influence retreat, August 15th to August 19th. I'm signing up for that one. I'm going.
Okay, so it's not like a school.
No.
Physical.
It's for the members of the community, which right now are 1,200 families. It's a place for them to come together and gather and be filled with longing for what we want.
And when you say community, it's not those living in
Michigan. I'm the only one who lives there.
Yeah, the community that
they come from all over the country. On June 6th this year, we're going to have our big annual Founders Day event, and we'll get 200 to 400 women who fly from all over the country. They bus together in a big van, and they come to spend 2 days immersed in this with other women who are doing it with their own families at home.
Where in Missouri is it?
An hour north of Kansas City, middle of nowhere.
What city is
there? It's the closest one would be Maysville, which is like 1,500 people. Other questions?
If I wanted to do folk song with my kids and I do not play any instruments and I don't know any folk songs, where would I start? Because I really loved that and I thought, I want to learn how to play the guitar now. But
two answers. You don't need the guitar at all. Okay. Half the songs I do, I don't use a guitar with. Did you notice when we did Amazing Grace, I didn't play the guitar? Uh-huh. I just never learned the chords, so I don't do it. You don't need any instrument. If you have it, great. My son's learning piano, so he actually has been learning some. He's like, can I play along? Sure. He's learning almost all of our songs. He plays with me, and we jam. But you don't need an instrument. Just sing a cappella. There's two ways. You can join the community, and I do every week. I film what I just did with you with new songs, teach a new song every week, and I post it, and you can watch it and learn songs. I post the lyrics, I post links to Spotify versions of the song, so you could get in that way. Alternatively, you could do what I've done, is I just find a song I like, and I start. And I just start singing it by myself at home. I invite my kids to come join me. If they don't, okay, remember, I'm starting here. I'm going to spend 10 minutes in my living room singing. If you can tag it on to do like a devotional thing, just tag it on there. Say, hey, we're going to sing a song today. You just started morning song. That easy. My rule for which songs I choose is if I don't love it, if it doesn't like make me stir a little bit, I don't use it. That's my thing. People will always be recommending songs. Well, you should do this one. And I listen to them. And if they stir something, I'm like, oh, yeah. If they don't, I'm not going to do it. Because only what's alive here is going to feel on fire to the people around. Could you tell I love the songs when I was doing them? Did you feel it? I do. I really like them. So I don't get one to like.
I have a question. Maybe you have an idea for me. Because my parents, the way they educated me, I was also homeschooled. Mm-hmm. I got on fire about all of these things, but because of certain directions I took, I didn't get to always do a lot of them. But I was trying to give opportunities to my kids. And in so doing, the way I've done it is I haven't come from the heart as much. And they're like, oh, I can pay for piano lessons for you. Like, I didn't get those. And things, and they're not as...
Yeah.
Not, I mean, some of them are very passionate. And others, there's like... This is a waste of time.
Shinichi Suzuki, the great violin teacher, you've heard of the Suzuki Method? Go read his book, Nurtured by Love. It's like that big, it's tiny. When he had a new student start as a three-year-old, because they started at three, he required the mother to take violin lessons for him first for a month before he would teach their child. Because he wanted the child to see mommy practicing every day, not even knowing the kid. The kid didn't even know they were going to be taking violin lessons. So the violin was to the child that really cool thing mommy does. That's powerful, isn't it? So I can't give you the answer. I don't know what the answer is, but go through Cast the Vision with that question. Take that question in there. That's what I'd say. We're out of time. The next presenter's got to come in here. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for being